Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, we're taking our entire show to the state of Nebraska. Anybody who talks about Latino issues in the U.S. should be talking about Nebraska and Tennessee and Oklahoma and all of the states of the American heartland, because those are the places where Latino populations have really exploded and made the greatest impact over the last decade. Nebraska's Latino population, for example, almost doubled between 2000 and 2010. Today, there are about 200,000 Latinos who live in the state, employed mainly in jobs like meatpacking and construction.
In a half mile, continue onto US 75 South.
Driving through South Omaha today, you'll find a thriving Mexican-American community filled with shops, taquerias, grocery stores, and colorful murals. A century ago, these same streets were home to Czech and Polish immigrants who came to work in the stockyards. With all change, however, comes resistance. Recently, immigration has become a major topic of debate in Nebraska, from the state house to town halls to diners throughout the state. The citizens of one rural Nebraska town have decided to take immigration laws into their own hands, no matter what the cost. That town is Fremont, Nebraska, and Latino USA producer Marlon Bishop has our story.
In a lot of ways, Fremont, Nebraska, population 26,167, could be any other mid-sized town somewhere in America. It has shady, pleasant streets lined with neat homes. It has a well-stocked Walmart and a sleepy Main Street. It has miles and miles of golden farmland all around, and more than 30 churches, spires reaching up into the wide Midwestern sky. Fremont also has something else no other town in the United States of America has. Ordinance 5165. Ordinance 5165 was designed to stop undocumented immigrants from settling here. It has two parts. Part one, it requires businesses to do a check on the immigration status of potential employees. Part two, and this is the part that's controversial, it forces all new renters to go down to the police department and pledge that they're in the country legally before they can live in town. Renting a home to undocumented immigrants is a punishable offense, with a fine of $100 a day. The housing ordinance didn't come to Fremont without a fight. The battle started in 2008 and lasted 6 years. It drew in just about everyone in town.
It was kind of sad, and it was also like, wow, you know, because the whole community got divided.
Take it from Maggie Zarate, a longtime Fremont resident.
It was like the South or the North. It was got divided. Who was with who? Neighbors against neighbors.
And I'm ashamed of you people. I'm ashamed of Fremont, and I can't believe this is happening.
Tempers flared at local city council meetings.
You don't represent the people. You represent interests, special interest groups. And you ought to be ashamed yourselves.
Americans are being killed by illegal aliens every day.
How they get by? Welfare and free health care.
The operative word here is illegals.
Suddenly, immigration was a huge issue in Fremont, and everyone had an opinion. But it wasn't always that way.
That was one of the things that we liked about Fremont, because they were like the most friendly, helpful people. So it was shocking when this came about.
The Zarates were one of the first Latino families to settle in Fremont in 2000. Back then, the town was 95% white.
You would see few Hispanic or Latino people. You know, it was kind of like, hi, you know, you saw somebody at the store and it was like, wow, there's another one.
Today, around 3,000 Latinos live here. That's 12% of the population. About a third of them may be undocumented. Driving around town, you can literally smell the reason they're coming here. Fremont is home to two large meatpacking plants, Hormel and Fremont Beef. They leave a sour smell that lingers in many parts of town. Here's longtime resident Michael Kuhns.
40 years ago when I got out of high school, those meatpacking jobs were the highest paying jobs in the community. So you had to know someone or be related to someone, you know, pull some strings for you to get hired.
Not anymore. Wages started going down at the plants over the last two decades. Some blame Reagan-era union busting for that. Others blamed cheap immigrant labor. Either way, native-born Nebraskans stopped wanting to do these jobs, and Mexicans and Central Americans started pouring in to do them. That made Dawn Wiegert unhappy.
Just seeing the demographics that have changed in our school system, you know, a lot of the costs that we're incurring are going from leaving illegal immigration unchecked.
Dawn supports the housing ordinance. She says undocumented immigrants drain public resources by forcing schools to hire ESL teachers and courts to hire translators. She says immigrants don't pay taxes or emergency room bills. She points to nearby Schuyler, a town that's 60% Latino, as an example of what she doesn't want Fremont to become.
They have not addressed illegal immigration. And their town basically, I mean, the real estate has gone down there. And property taxes have gone up, and their school system now, it's, what, 90% Hispanic, and white people have had to either move out or stay there and pay the costs that the illegal immigrants aren't willing to pay.
Others in town shared her view. The thinking was, if the federal government won't enforce immigration law, we will. And so, to write the ordinance language, they reached out to this man.
Joining us now from Washington, Chris Kobach, the incoming Secretary of State of Kansas.
Kobach is a right-wing star, the author of Arizona's so-called Show Me Your Papers law, the Alabama self-deportation laws, and dozens of local anti-immigration initiatives around the country. Here he is on the show of conservative pundit Bill O'Reilly.
Well, the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, does give us as states the concept of state citizenship and the right to define who is a citizen in our state.
I think that illegal aliens are sneaking across the border so they can give birth and have their kids Americans so they can stay here. I'm with you in spirit.
Kobach's ordinance didn't pass the Fremont City Council, so newly minted conservative activists like Dawn and her brother-in-law John Wiegert got involved. They went door-to-door with a petition to bring the matter to a citywide referendum. That did pass.
That's when I was like, wow, and there's really people that are going, for some reason, I feel racially going after us.
You need to go to bed, don't you?
No.
Yes.
No.
Natalie Urioste is a dental assistant. She lives in Fremont with her husband and three young children in a spacious Victorian home.
And Mom said maybe we're going to get a new puppy.
I've grown here since I was the age about 8. And we've resided here for such a long time that it's like my hometown now.
But the housing ordinance changed things.
It made me feel very sad, very unwelcome. I felt like, you know, I work in Omaha and they tell me, why don't you move down here to Omaha? And I'm like, no, Fremont is where I want to be. But since all this started happening, it's like, I don't think Fremont is where I want to be now. I don't think I want my kids to grow up in Fremont.
As a U.S. citizen, Natalie wouldn't be legally affected by the ordinance, but she says she started to notice people treating her differently. One man got angry at her for speaking Spanish at the Walmart with her kids.
And I've had a gentleman tell me, why don't you speak to them in English? And I'm like, thank you, but they know both languages.
Maggie Zarate felt a change too. A stranger hurled insults at her and her kids outside their house.
Go back to Mexico, you know, the F word. That was the first time I think I've ever been told in such a tone. And my children were there and they thought that we were in danger.
Civil rights groups sued Fremont. The city decided not to enforce the housing part of the ordinance while the cases worked their way through the courts. After all, similar laws had been struck down in Farmers Branch, Texas, and Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Then, in 2013, an appeals court decided to uphold Fremont's ordinance. The city now had no choice but to enforce it.
You to meet with Scott?
Okay. Right in here, and Scott will be right in for you.
Great, thank you.
Scott Getchman is Fremont's mayor.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Scott Getchman.
Very nice to meet you.
He's a Republican and the embodiment of Nebraska nice. But he's become something of a reviled figure for many residents of Fremont. He's against the housing ordinance.
I'm certainly not for illegal immigration, but I really don't want the citizens of Fremont to bear these costs.
The mayor says he'd been warned that Fremont's ordinance put the city at risk for losing federal fair housing grants to the tune of $7 million. Plus, he was concerned about how all the negative press would affect the town's future.
People get online, they look at Fremont, and if they see that you have an ordinance such as this, you know, they can perceive it as being hateful. And instead of looking at Fremont for their expansion economically, they look somewhere else.
So Getchman wanted to hold another vote on the housing ordinance.
Resolution calling for special election to repeal number 2 through 4, harboring illegal aliens.
And that's when things got really nasty.
For you, Bixby and Getchman, you guys set up their knack like a bunch of arrogant, pompous yahoos who spew misstatements and ignore the facts, and then you just sit mutely there and avoid accountability. I see that from President Obama all the time. I feel we've been attacked. The people that voted for this, we've been attacked by you. I don't particularly like the choice that was made for mayor, but I don't get a redo. I don't like the president. I don't get a redo.
Our elected officials need to remember that we, the people, are their constituents, not the illegal aliens.
Only a few got up to speak against the housing ordinance. One was Maggie Zarate.
I'm just concerned for my children, for their right, that these are third-generation American citizens, that they can't go outside to play because of the color of their skin when they were born here in Nebraska. As a parent, you should be outraged that we're trying to do this segregation in our city.
We could change the motto of the city. I suggest we probably should go with Fremont, Nebraska. If you're not white, you're not welcome. Thank you.
For housing ordinance supporters, the charges of racism stung.
This has nothing to do with racism. Racism, I mean, that's the last bastion of people who've run out of facts when they start using that label.
The testimony went on for almost 2 hours.
Anything else? Cast your votes.
Bixby?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Stang?
Yes.
Coons?
Yes.
7 ayes, 1 nay, Your Honor. Motion carries.
Item 22. Resolution approving ballot language for special election appeal.
The vote to reconsider the housing ordinance passed. That was back in November. The people of Fremont would vote on it again in February.
The story of the battle over immigration in Fremont, Nebraska continues. Coming up, things get tense as Fremont goes back to the vote.
There's kind of a line drawn in the sand now. Are you in favor of the ordinance or are you against the ordinance?
Which side will prevail? Stay with us on Latino USA. No se vayan.
My lady's talking, leaving talk. That painful, unbelieving talk. The words that make you feel you're losing all the love that you've been using, kind of leaving talk. Oh, yeah. The lady's talking, leaving talk. She doesn't have to say a single word, 'cause through the silence it can still be heard. Oh, by the way, she isn't smiling when she looks up in the sky, just thinking, leaving thoughts. Oh, yeah. My lady's talking, leaving talk. I can't believe it's really happening. The thought of losing her is killing me. Oh, I wish I could neglect it, but I can't help but...
Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. We've been talking about Nebraska, specifically a mid-sized town about an hour out of Omaha called Fremont, where citizens voted in a strict anti-immigrant housing ordinance. The ordinance punishes landlords for renting to undocumented people, essentially making it impossible for them to live in the town. When we left off, it was November 2013, and the city council had just decided to bring the issue to a public vote for the second time. Our producer, Marlon Bishop, picks up the story.
The vote to reconsider Fremont's housing ordinance was set for February. As the date approached, the town became increasingly tense, and the attacks more personal. In the comments on the Fremont Tribune website, Mayor Getchman, who opposed the ordinance, was called a lot of names. Deceitful, traitorous, fear-mongering, power-hungry, greedy, arrogant, unethical. There were rumors of kids fighting in the schoolyard over the ordinance. Windows busted out with rocks. A dead cat left in a yard. Personal relationships were tested.
My wife and I don't agree on it.
Michael Kunz is one of the city council members that voted to bring the issue to a second referendum.
I've got close friends. They know me. They've known me for a long time. We love each other. But when it comes to this issue, they question my loyalty.
In the end, Fremont voters passed the ordinance a second time by a margin of 20%, even higher than before. Since then, you could say life has returned to normal in Fremont, but it's a new normal.
There's kind of a line drawn in the sand now. Are you in favor of the ordinance or are you against the ordinance?
Virginia Meyer helped lead the charge against the ordinance. The thing about living in a small town like Fremont is that your political arch rivals are also your neighbors. They're people you see every day at church, at school, at the Walmart.
There is this just feeling of like, I can't go to the store and run into people who I know feel so strongly against this.
I've lived here since 1972.
Michael Kunz.
You know, in all those years, I've never seen anything occur in the community, you know, that's kind of brought the community down to the level that it's at now.
The whole thing does make you wonder why a seemingly small housing regulation became such a huge dividing point in this otherwise polite Midwestern town. Some say it's about people just getting fired up by all the anti-immigrant rhetoric going around. Others say it's frustration towards the Obama administration, taken out on a local level. But something else was going on, too. When you get down to it, the debate wasn't about housing anymore. It was about the very soul of the town. Even though he voted against the ordinance, Michael Kunz relates to the sense of displacement some people in Fremont are feeling.
It gets a little hard for our culture in the Midwest to easily accept another culture coming in that doesn't want to assimilate into our society, into our culture. It's extremely challenging, you know, basically for those of us in the Middle Ages. But that's just not something that we're used to.
For the pro-ordinance people, the issue is also bigger than a single ordinance in a single town. For them, ideologically speaking, Fremont is just the start. John Wieger wants to see what happened here, start a chain reaction of similar ordinances all over America.
And I think we've got this stirred up in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And hopefully with what we've done here, some other towns will do what we're doing. And that'll put pressure on the states around us. And hopefully, you know, our national government's not doing a thing. Yeah. So it's got to go back to the people.
Now, in order to live in Fremont, you have to go to the police station and sign a document saying you are a legal resident. The town is even divided on the impact this will have. Virginia Meyer thinks that ultimately it's not a winning strategy.
Here in the Midwest and Great Plains, we are losing young people, and towns like Fremont don't have the luxury of turning people away. We don't have the luxury of being unwelcoming communities because we will shrivel up and die. And that's what I don't want to see happen here.
Meanwhile, Dawn Wieger thinks the housing ordinance will actually attract people.
Now, the other side will tell you different. They're like, we're losing all these young people because, you know, we're not providing the jobs and we look like we're a real racist community. I feel the exact opposite. I've talked to some of our friends and their kids haven't come back to Fremont because they know the cost of a city that doesn't address illegal immigration is going to become a sanctuary city, really.
Still, even after all that's happened, it's hard to tell if the ordinance will really keep undocumented people away from Fremont. The meatpacking plants lie outside the city limits. So do the trailer parks where many undocumented workers live. Maggie Zarate says she knows Latino families who have left town because of the ordinance, but most have stayed, regardless of their immigration status.
It's like you see the tornadoes, you see the big clouds, and, you know, we're all going to fly away, and then it passed, and it's like, we're right now, I think we're in like that after the storm calm. It's calm, but it's like too calm because it's like makes you wonder what's going to happen.
Drive down Main Street in Fremont and you'll see most of the old businesses have closed down. Mexican bakeries and a Salvadoran pupusa shop have sprung up in their stead. A few churches advertise worship in Spanish. Statues of the Virgin of Guadalupe dot front lawns in some neighborhoods. Like I said, in many ways, Fremont could be any mid-sized town, somewhere in America. Changing.
Latino USA producer Marlon Bishop with that story from Fremont, Nebraska.